This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا اله الا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر امين يا رب العالمين I'm hoping to continue the series of khutbas I'm giving on the passage that is dedicated to this unique individual Luqman رضي الله عنه and in the last two khutbas I've talked about the first couple of ayat of this passage The ayah in which Allah had given him wisdom and the ayah in which the first time he gave advice to his son is mentioned. You know, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ And there are other ayat, like I mentioned last time, in which he gives his son advice. And those are some really beautiful pieces of advice. But before Allah teaches us those pieces of advice, Allah chose to stop telling us about his advice and decided to give us advice directly. So now Allah is now speaking to us directly. And it's interesting that when you give somebody advice in Arabic, you can say the word maw'idha, which is counsel or advice, and you can say tawsiyah. Tawsiyah is also very strong advice or very heartfelt advice. Actually, tawsiyah is related to the word wasiyah, and wasiyah is a will that you leave behind. And wasiyah is, you know, when somebody's dying, they say parting words, like as they die, and they give some advice, and so when you love somebody, and this is the last thing they said to you, or the last, or promise me something, or when they say something like that, that stays in your heart forever. Tawsiyah is actually that kind of an advice that stays in your heart. So that's the word Allah used for himself. So Luqman was giving his son advice, and he said, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ He was giving him counsel, a counsel that he can feel. But even a stronger word for counsel is tawsiyah, and Allah used that for himself, when now what he's telling us. So he says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ We gave the human being very strong counsel when it comes to both of his parents. So now Allah is saying that Allah has always given counsel to us from the very beginning. This is not something that came in the Quran and didn't exist before. In fact, Allah is, you know, essentially teaching us that this has been something from the very beginning, one of the earliest teachings, if not one of the fundamental teachings of Islam from the earliest times, just like the fact that Allah is one, is that there's counsel that Allah gave and strong advice that Allah gave about the rights of the mother and the father. So they're related to each other. Now, before I go further, why is it that Allah mentions, Luqman just told his son, don't do shirk with Allah, right? So the father, the parent, told the child, give Allah his rights, right? Give Allah his rights. And then Allah turns to the child and says, give your parents their rights. You see what just happened? So Allah stood up, the parents stood up for Allah, and Allah stands up for the parents, right? And that's a very powerful thing, because what we're learning from that is sometimes when you stand for Allah, when you do what Allah, you know, when you want to inculcate in somebody Allah's rights, then maybe Allah will make sure that your rights are given. Then Allah will be the one to defend you. You won't have to fight for your rights. Allah will do that for you. And so it's beautiful that there's a switch that happens in these ayat, where first Luqman was just making sure that his son does right by Allah. And in the immediate next ayat, Allah says, I've always wanted to make sure that human beings do right by their parents. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. So that's a really beautiful, you know, correspondence between these two ayat. But something else that's really important to note here is the word insan. You know, scholars argue that the word insan comes from two origins. One of them has to do with nisyan, forgetfulness. So when Allah uses the word insan, maybe Allah is highlighting, I'm giving advice that, you know, I'm calling you a human being here because you tend to forget some things. So when Allah uses that word, maybe He's hinting at the fact that this is the kind of advice that's easily forgotten. And when something's easily forgotten, it needs to be repeated over and over again, right? So sometimes people hear, well, I already heard this. I already know what Islam says about parents or whatever. Like, they don't want to hear it. But by calling them al-insan, by calling us al-insan in this ayah, it's as if Allah is letting us know you have a tendency to forget or overlook. And human beings, they'll just forget as in they forgot from their memory. They also forget from their heart. Now, what's the difference between forgetting from your memory and forgetting from your heart? Forgetting from your memory is, I can't remember this person's name, right? Or I can't remember where I put the keys. That's forgetting from your memory. Forgetting from your heart is when you knew you were supposed to do something. Like, I know I'm supposed to be more patient. Everybody knows that. But then when you got angry at that time, your heart forgot about that. Even though if somebody asked you at the time, hey, do you know anything about patience? Yeah, you're supposed to be patient. You're not supposed to raise your voice. I know these things. You didn't forget. Your mind didn't forget, but your heart forgot, right? So this ayah can be looked at also as advice that the mind can easily remember, but the heart can easily forget. So Allah gave this counsel so our hearts can remember. And that's the word tawsiya also has this idea that something your heart will remember forever, just like that parting advice when somebody's dying that I was talking about, right? So he says, for both his parents, there is this strong counsel that Allah gave. Then there's the idea of the word walid, as opposed to abawayhi. And there's some really interesting conversations about these two words, because they're both Arabic words for parents. But walid actually, or walidain actually has to do with the biological parents. And sometimes what happens is biological parents aren't doing their job. Let's just put it simply. Sometimes biological parents that gave birth to a child, ended up not being a good mom or not being a good dad. Maybe they were negligent, maybe they were abusive. Maybe they taught the wrong things. Maybe they forced children into the wrong things. In fact, the Quran is full of so many prophet stories whose elders, or the elders of society, or the parents of the society, were actually calling for the wrong thing, right? So that can happen, and you can be in a family where even your biological parents are asking you to do the wrong thing. And so you might feel like, well, if I had good parents, I would have been good to them. But since I don't have good parents, then they're not abawain, they're just walidain, so I don't have to take Allah's advice. I have an exception. Actually, no, Allah's advice is universal, even though Allah knows and Allah teaches us that there are different situations, right? But when it comes to when someone does wrong to me, let's just give a worst case scenario. Somebody's in a family and their father's terrible. He beats the child, he abuses the child, he doesn't give them, you know, they don't have food to eat, they're kept in miserable condition, whatever it may be, right? Or they're completely unfair and they humiliate them and degrade them and all that stuff, right? So they're the worst possible imaginable father or worst possible imaginable mother. What does Islam say about that? Islam doesn't say, well, they could be a monster, but you should still be good to them. That's not what Allah's religion says. What Allah's deen is telling us is, if they do, every human being has a right to defend themselves and the right to defend their own dignity. They have that right. The right to seek protection even. They do. But if, like, once they become old, that bad parent to you became old and they have a heart condition, or they later on said that I'm sorry or whatever else, right? And they want to come back and they want to connect with you. You may not be able to do that because every time you see their face, you remember all the terrible things they did. Right? You may not be able to overcome that. And even in that case, Allah still gives us advice. And what's the advice? Ihsanan, in other places in the Quran. Do the best you can. Do the best that you can. It's really beautiful words. Allah didn't put one standard for every situation. So if you have a terrible situation, what's the best that you can do? The best that I can do is, I'm not going to be hurtful towards them, I won't cause them any harm, but being around them is harmful for me. or my religion, or my emotional state, or my well-being, or even my own children. So I'm going to keep a safe distance, but I'll still do whatever I can for them from a distance, as I would for anybody in need. That's the best I can do. Sometimes that's the best a person can do. They can't do anymore. Ibrahim alayhi salam was being kicked out of his house, right? And I'm pretty sure Ibrahim alayhi salam understands you have to be the best to your parents more than anybody. When he's being kicked out of his house and he doesn't have a choice, he leaves and you don't find him coming back because he knows there's no room for that anymore. He understands that. There are those circumstances in Allah's book too. So it's unfair for us, first of all, to paint a picture that's black and white. You have to be the same way, the best you can be to all your parents, no matter what. But now let's turn to the other side. Shaitan is very smart. Shaitan's not dumb. He's extremely smart. So when I say that to somebody, when I say these things, then there are people who have good parents. People that took their parents did everything they can for them. But you know what? Even if I did everything I can for my child, there will still be something that my child will say, you didn't do this for me. There'll be a feeling, you didn't do this for me. Or you didn't do, because, you know, obviously parents scold their children, discipline their children. Sometimes parents don't give their children what they want, right? Parents go against the will of the children sometimes. And as they grow up, there could be, you did all this stuff for me, but there's one thing I want that you didn't do. Or that one time you yelled at me, or whatever, right? So what they do is they hold on to one or two incidents, and they use that to justify that my parents are actually the kind of monsters that are being talked about, and therefore, that's the best I can do. I don't call them, I ignore them, I block their phone number, I change my address and didn't tell them where I live, etc., etc., etc. That's shaitan justifying you to yourself. And Allah knows. Allah knows, you know, when رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ is an ayah that came right after talking about parents. He said, Allah knows better what you have inside yourselves. If you're making up a story to justify your mistreatment, to justify your mistreatment, Allah knows that. And if you're being honest with yourself, Allah knows that. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. For people who keep coming back to Allah and are honest with Allah and themselves, those are the people Allah will be forgiving to. In other words, if you want to play that game, Allah will not be forgiving. Allah will not be forgiving. So now coming to this ayah, he says, we gave the human being advice regarding both his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. His mother carried him one burden after another. His mother carried him burden after another. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. And feeding him over a course of up to 2 years. So Allah started talking about the mom, right? But it's really cool that this passage didn't begin with a mom. It began with a dad. It was Luqman talking to his son, right? And all of a sudden Allah says, and Allah gave advice to both about both parents. And then starts talking about the mom and what she does. So it's really interesting contrast. And so pay attention to what did Allah say about the mom? And what did Allah say about the dad before that? The dad's great gift to the child was that the dad was a source of advice. The dad was a source of truth. The dad was a source of counsel. So the dad found the right time to put his arms around his son or his daughter and then give them advice that will help them in their life, to guide them. That's the main contribution of the father. But the main contribution of the mother, even though the mother will also give advice, the mother will also give guidance, the mother will also give nurturing, but the mother did something that she did before you and I can even remember. She did something so huge that we won't even remember it. And we're going to turn 40, 50, 60 years old and we'll have no idea what she did. So Allah chose to remind us what the mom does that we can't possibly remember. We can't possibly remember. And you know what? Let's take a step back. Allah says in Quran, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. He teaches you what you couldn't know yourselves. He teaches you what you couldn't know yourselves. Well, the thing is, when we think of our dads, we think of the things they buy for us. We think of the trips they took us on. We think of, you know, the requests we make of them, the food they take us out to eat. Dads do stuff for us in typical situations, right? So when we think of the good things that dad paid for my college tuition, dad got me my first car, dad did this, dad did this, dad did this, right? Those are the things we can remember from father. The thing we overlook is when dad was telling me to pray. Right? Because that was annoying. Or when dad said, hey, stop doing that and go read some Quran. Or hey, come here, son, let me just tell you, you shouldn't talk like that. You should be more respectful. When dad was being an advisor, you weren't appreciating that. When dad was taking you on a trip, that was great. When dad was giving you some money so you can buy yourself some whatever, that was great. When dad bought you a video game or a new console or the PS5's come out or coming out, I don't know, can we get that? Then dad's awesome. But when dad sits you down and says, I need you to learn to be patient. I need you to learn to lower your voice. I need you to learn to walk differently. I noticed some things that on your phone, I want to talk to you about them. I noticed the way you're praying, you're becoming looser and looser with your prayers. When he has that kind of conversation, like, oh, God. Baba. Okay. All right. In other words, advice is annoying. The father's role, the father figure's role. See, Ibrahim, you could argue, doesn't even have a father, has a father figure, right? And so whether it's a father or a father figure, there, the thing you should be most grateful for will not be the financial contributions. Will actually not be the things that you and I associate with what they did for us. It'll be the thing Allah is telling you you overlook. That's the thing you should be most grateful for. And what's that going to be? The good advice that the father gave. The counsel that the father gave. That's the one we forget about. Looking back, when somebody thinks my father didn't do anything for me, well, if their life was filled with giving you good counsel, then that's the most priceless gift they gave you. And then look at the example of Luqman. It's so amazing how comprehensive this passage is. Such few words, but it's covered from every angle. You know when someone says, talk is cheap, right? How are you giving me advice? You don't follow it yourself, right? Because somebody could say that, right? But what does Allah say about Luqman? He says Allah gave him the wisdom that he to be grateful to Allah. Remember that? So he already lives a life of gratitude and then he gives advice. What does that mean? That a child sees the advice in action. The child doesn't just see he's being told to pray and the father doesn't pray. He doesn't just see recite more Quran and the father doesn't recite Quran. The child doesn't just see don't use bad words and the father uses bad words. He sees the gratitude in the father and then he sees the advice on top of that. That's the best gift a father can give their child. But the best gift a mother can give their child has already been given. His mother carried him. A mother carried a child. Burden on top of burden. When she became pregnant, she was really happy. Then that happiness changed into throwing up. Then it changed into all food tasting like paper. Then it changed into backaches, stomach aches, all kinds of aches, temper tantrums, mood swings, crying for reasons that nobody can understand, right? Not being able to sleep, not being able to stay awake, not being able to stand, not being able to sit, not being able to lie down. Lie this way it hurts, lie that way it hurts. Constant anxieties, the baby okay, is everything okay? Fears, on top of fears. It's not just physical burdens, it's other weaknesses, emotional weaknesses, other anxieties. What kind of child is this going to be? Is everything going to be okay? And then as the mom gets more further and further into her trimesters, into her pregnancy, then the physical toll starts getting heavier and heavier and heavier. It's like you guys want to try an experiment, you just take your book bag, your backpack, and you put it on in front instead of your back and stuff it with textbooks and zip it up and don't take it off for a week. See how that feels? That was mom doing that for us, right? Every 5 minutes she's got to go to the bathroom again because her bladder is being squeezed by us. And as we're growing inside her belly, then we feel like stretching. So we're kicking her from the inside. You know, we're stretching and kicking and doing all kinds of stuff to her from the inside. And we don't remember any of this. We were causing her daily pain. Daily is not even the word. Every moment was pain and discomfort. And we're doing that. And what is she doing? When someone hurts you, you want to hurt them back. Or you want to at least get away from them. Right? If someone's bothering you, you just want to get away from them. The mom doesn't want to get away from you. You hurt her, and she just threw up. And all she's worried about is, I hope the baby's okay. She's not even worried about if she's okay. She's just worried if the baby's okay. She's reciting Quran, and she's hoping that the blessings of the Quran go and bless the child in some way. She wants to be careful around table corners. Nobody cares for you like that ever, the way your mom does. That she already did. She didn't even care about her own life. When time came to give birth, that's pretty much what you can call a near-death experience. They bleed, and then nearly die. Their body, their bones, literally open up. Their bones open up for them to give birth to you and me. And if they're not able to do that, then, oh, the convenient one, C-section? Yeah, really? Cutting your gut open is a convenient thing? And then they get stapled together? They get stapled in their belly? That's easy? And they do that, and they almost die bleeding. And, you know, in life, if somebody bleeds you, then you see them and you should be traumatized. That's the person who stabbed me. That's the person who cut me. That's the person who nearly killed me. That's the person who tortured me. 36 hours of labor, 20 hours of labor, 13 hours of labor. And after all that yelling, screaming, excruciating pain, the baby comes out and the mom says, "You know what you've done to me?" No. She holds the baby and the world stops existing because she's completely in love with this child. Completely in love with this child. And the child doesn't exactly come out and say thank you. The child starts complaining. "I need more. I'm hungry." You start out that way. And she feeds you. And when she feeds you, it hurts. And she's still not over her own physical pain from giving birth to you. And you become not less demanding, you become more demanding and more demanding and more demanding. And it's not just feeding you, it's protecting you from the wind. The fan is on too cold. The blanket's not over. Oh, the blanket's too high on it. He can't breathe properly. She can't breathe properly. Oh my God, constant checking on the baby. Constant checking. And she does all of this, and do I remember? No. I have no memory of the nights where she was hurting in pain, holding back her tears because she doesn't want to wake me up. Her crying might wake me up. And she's just rocking me to sleep. Her back is hurting, but she's still rocking me to sleep. She's doing that. I don't remember though. I have no memory of this. It's gone. So what does Allah decide to do? Allah decides to remind me and remind you of something we couldn't possibly realize on our own. Our hearts can't feel it. You know, many parents celebrate birthdays, right? And this is not a fatwa on whether or not you celebrate birthdays. I personally believe that there's nothing wrong with birthdays so long as they're not doing something vile or israf, like exceeding spending and things like that. Cultural celebrations are fine if they have no element of shirk in them. I personally have no issue with them. But you know, when a child's birthday is being celebrated, you guys are so obsessed with cake, I want a present. You didn't get me something. What are you going to give me for my birthday? My birthday is only four weeks away. Now it's 3 weeks and 6 days away. Now it's 3 weeks and 5 days away. Now there's 5 hours and 47 seconds left. You're counting down on your birthday. What is your mom remembering? What was your first birthday like? It almost killed her. That's the day she almost died. You realize that? If you want to remember the day you were born, the biggest gift is your existence that Allah Azza wa Jal made your mom a means to do. You didn't come out of the earth, you came out of your mom. You came out of your mom. And when she did that for you, why? The question arises, the previous ayah was about Allah's rights, don't do shirk with Allah, right? Allah created us, yes or no? Yeah, Allah created us. But we don't see it when Allah created us. مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. We didn't make them witness the creation of the skies and the earth. And we didn't make them watch when they were being created themselves. Allah says, you weren't there to watch how you were being created. وَمَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. But you know what? Allah does remind us of something we all know happened. It's not in the mysterious unseen. It actually happened. In our own personal history, we were created in the womb of our mothers and we caused our mothers excruciating pain. And then we came out of our mothers and our mothers broke themselves carrying us. And when we finally became capable of standing up, just standing up, then we gave our moms the exercises of their life. running up the stairs, falling down the stairs, breaking glass, touching things we're not supposed to touch. And their lives revolved around running behind us. One eye on whatever they're doing, the other eye constantly on us. That's all they did do with their lives, is they're running around us, taking care of us. We invaded their lives completely. Took over. And then on top of everything a mom does, sometimes the mom loses it. It's like this baby is just, you know, you put this, you're feeding the baby, and it's like 2, 3 years old, 4 years old. You're feeding the child. Nah! I don't want it! And they smack the plate into the wall. And the mom says, it's okay, it's okay. And she tries it again and smack the other wall. And then eventually mom says, stupid! And the baby starts crying. And the mom feels guilty the whole night that I'm too cruel of a mother. Right? That's what she feels like. Now put yourself in that position. If you serve somebody food and they smacked it out of your hands, and then you serve them and they smacked it out of your hands, and you even raise your voice once, would you feel guilty? No, you wouldn't. But the mom has this soft corner for her child that she feels like she's not doing enough. She beats herself up over it. This is what our mothers did for us and what Allah is telling us. This is the point. I elaborated this instead of talking about the rest of the ayat, maybe next week, inshallah. But I elaborated this for one purpose. If a human being is incapable of feeling, not knowing, feeling gratitude for what mom did, then they are incapable of feeling gratitude for what Allah does. They can't do it. Because what Allah does is from the unseen. But what the mother does is not in the unseen, it was in the seen. You can't even believe in the seen. Your heart can't even feel gratitude for what was experienced. How can you feel gratitude for what hasn't even been seen? Is Allah giving us blessings, guidance, protection, care in ways that we cannot see? Yeah. How are we expected to feel that, to get a glimpse of that? Allah says, this is why I gave you your mother. This is why I gave you your father. So you can develop an appreciation. If you can develop gratitude for them, then that gratitude will evolve into gratitude for me. This is why in this ayah also, later on in this ayah, was Allah going to say, "Anishkur li wali walidayka." Be grateful to me and both your parents. You see how amazing that is? Grateful to me and both your parents. The action is one, grateful. And the recipient of that action are two. One, Allah, two, the parents. As if they're connected to each other. As if they're connected to each other. So those of us that do have parents that are alive, those of us that have given a hard time to our parents, especially to our moms and even to our dads, the dad that gives us advice, the dad that doesn't want anything back from us. Whenever he does something, he does it for our own good. When he yells at you for messing up in school, it's not because he gets something out of it or he gains a victory. When he's tough with you, he's tough with you because he wants you to do better in life and he doesn't want you failing. When he's stopping you from playing a video game, it's because he doesn't want you to miss prayers and get in the habit. Even when he does things you don't like, he's doing it for because he loves you. And when your mom is tough on you, when your mom is disciplining you, then in those moments, how easy is it for you to just snap back? Okay, mom, I heard enough. You know what? You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, I'm not 5 anymore, okay? Really? You're going to talk like that? You know? Allah says about himself, when he talks about human beings, وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. You know? So, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. He starts talking about us theoretically, giving examples about us, and he forgot when he was made, the way he was made. Well, that happens with parents too. We start talking to our parents, and we forget where we came from. We forget what they did. We forget what they did. And we can never allow ourselves to forget what they did. That's not something we can ever repay. That sentiment will make you do the best you can, even when they're not good parents. You're not going to be able to do everything. Maybe you'll have to protect yourself, but even within those limits, you will push yourself to do the very best you possibly can. That's That's the sentiment that Allah wants us to have. When this entire passage started, Allah gave Luqman wisdom. This is my concluding comments to you now. Allah gave Luqman wisdom to be grateful to Allah. And now we're learning, how are you going to be grateful to Allah if you can't be grateful to your parents? So for us, wisdom is going to be, we're going to have to do a mental exercise on how we can show gratitude to our parents. How can we do that? Without sacrificing ourselves. Allah doesn't even want us to sacrifice ourselves for Him. He doesn't even do that. He doesn't say, thank me 24/7. He doesn't say, pray to me 50, 70, 80 times a day. He doesn't do that. He gave us guidance on how to be the best to Him, right? The same way our parents have healthy rights. And we can show our gratitude to them, even though we'll never be done thanking them. We can show our gratitude to them, but that doesn't mean that you become a slave. You won't be. Don't feel like you're going to become a slave. We are actual slaves of Allah, and even Allah, our master, gives us so much freedom. Right? Even He gives us so much freedom. So you shouldn't feel that way. So inshallah, hopefully we'll talk about some of the other remarkable teachings inside of these ayat. And through them, I pray that, you know, the parents that are listening build a better relationship with their kids, and the kids that are listening build a healthier, more spiritually nurturing relationship with their parents. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa, khususan ala afdalihim wa khatim al-Nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.